go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's all-purpose cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. It can be used on hard, non-porous surfaces like the kitchen, bathroom, and other areas in your home. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Hoosier Football Tailgate is sponsored by BetOnline. BetOnline is where the game starts.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello and welcome to the Hoosier Football Tailgate here on the Believe Network. I am the coach, Shannon Griffith. I thank you for joining us here this evening. In a little bit, we're going to talk with Dylan Sin, from the Journal Gazette. Dylan is a beat writer that covers all things Indiana Hoosiers. We're going to talk to him about what to expect this spring from Coach Cignetti and his football team as spring practice draws near here within the next couple of weeks. Spring break in May is underway for a lot of schools. And with that being said, that means spring football is here and ready for us to get ready for coming up for the Hoosiers. Before we do that, I'd just like to thank Bet Online for their sponsorship of the Hoosier Football Tailgate. Remember, Bet Online is your number one source for all things sports wagering with the NBA, NHL. You've got the college tourneys coming up, and March Madness, of course, will also be right around the corner. All up-to-date stats, lines, parlays, things of the that you would need to make an informed decision on all your wagering. Bet Online is where the game starts. And like I said, Dylan Sin is going to join us here in just a few moments, but a couple things I want to update and just remind you of. Number one, if you could please like, share, and subscribe on all our broadcasts and on YouTube. If you hit the notification bell, it will tell you when a episode is dropped, as well as with X, formerly known as Twitter. Those also will be showing up there as a live broadcast when we have something put out for you all to watch and partake in. Please leave comments if you feel so. Do so. Appreciate any of those that you want to provide, maybe even content that you'd like to see. But remember, like, comment, and subscribe to all those. You can find me at Coach Griff 55 and at the Hoosier Tailgate, all on X as that, and then Hoosier Tailgate, Football Tailgate on YouTube, on our YouTube channel as well. Well, the Hoosiers are getting ready to start here coming up on the 21st, right around the corner. Remember, the spring game is set for April the 18th, all a part of the Little Five weekend. Thursday night game, all the things that are involved in Little Five, it should be a fun time to be had by all that want to enjoy that Little Five weekend. Hopefully that we'll get tremendous weather for that week, that night, as well as get to see under the lights the first scrimmage that will be open to the public for the Coach Cignetti's era starting now. But, you know, the lot of things that are going on right now with it pertains to spring ball. Coach Cignetti and his staff are diligently working towards the first practices and stuff in terms of their installation, as well as what their objectives are going to be here for the first couple of weeks. We had talked a little bit about that week, the mindset of Coach Cignetti and his staff. We talked about hearing the words fast, relentless, and physical being the three primary words that Coach Cignetti likes to use. And you're going to see a lot of that this spring, a quarterback battle that's going to be unique in that you're going to have four of them competing and vying for the top spot. Curtis Rourke probably right now in the leader at this time, I would say, but don't discount what Taven Jackson may bring to the table, Brock Lowry, or...
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Freshman Tyler Cherry, I don't think you can rule him out either, because I think he'll be given every opportunity to show where he is at in his development with Coach Cignetti. And we'll have to see how that all plays out. You've got a wide receiver room that's ultra competitive, you know, Donovan McTally back out of the portal, coming back. You got the Surratt kid that's coming in from James Madison, transfers from OU, Texas Tech, you name it. There's quite a few there, as there is in the running back room and the tight end room. I think they've got about 7 tight ends that they'll be utilizing throughout the spring. So offensively speaking, you should see some depth. You should some great comp depth. You should some great comp. We talked about the injuries that are going to prevent some of these kids from participating this spring. But all in all, I think it's a very opportunistic time down in Bloomington for this Hoosier football team, as well as Coach Cignetti, to build upon all the excitement that's been generated thus far up to date. and continue that all the way through the spring, up through the spring game. And we'll see all that transpires here over the next few weeks. Just another reminder, each and every Thursday, you can catch me on Jim Coyle on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Every Thursday, Jim and I will talk IU football and all the things that are happening there and other discussionary points that may be of relevant discussion about. But each and every Thursday on Indiana Sports Beat Radio with Jim Coyle up here in the Fort Wayne area, you can catch that on 1380 The Fan, 100.9 FM from 3 to 4 o'clock, right before the sports rush with Mr. Brett Rump. Every Thursday, me and Jim Coyle will have our little dialogue throughout the remainder of the year, as well as some other things that we are working on to bring you during the football season. We'll see how that all transpires as well. But you can always count on Hoosier Football Tailgate keeping you up to date with all the news that you can get right at your fingertips right here each and every week on Hoosier Football Tailgate. Well, don't move. We're going to come right back right after this and talk with Dylan Sin from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette right here on the Hoosier Football Tailgate. Welcome back to the Hoosier Football Tailgate here on the Believe Network. Joining me now, Mr. Dylan Sin from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. And we were talking there for a little bit about the concept of spring practice going on here shortly and the enthusiasm that has been seen, I guess you would say, media wise, maybe some the true forums that you may see out there about Indiana football. Explain, I guess, have you seen something like this before about the excitement as it pertains to Indiana football in the middle of March Madness and things of that nature going on right now?
Yeah, no, I haven't. And it's a credit to what Kurt Cignetti has done just to kind of reset the narrative on Indiana a little bit. He came in here clearly with a plan that said, people think this is a bad football program, and my job is to change that. That was obviously what he thought when he got here. And so he's been out there basically pounding the pavement saying, I am going to change the narrative around Indiana football. I am going to make Indiana a winner. And he has a ton of confidence. And I think that obviously he's a very confident guy. He believes in himself. But I think also some of that is a little bit of kayfabe, right? It's basically saying, if I say it enough times, people will start to believe it because, you know, the narrative is everything, right? And so I think that is a huge part of what he's doing is basically saying, well, IU's got this coach. He believes in them. Let's see what happens. People are going to see, right? Because either he's going to flame out spectacularly and that'll be interesting to watch, or he's going to be right and he'll look like a prophet and people will be able to say, wow, that was really interesting to watch. So, it's been really exciting to see him kind of make that happen over the last couple of months here. And then on top of that, he brought in a ton of talent out of the transfer portal this offseason, brought in a couple guys in the 2024 freshman recruiting class as well. And so there are going to be significant position battles in spring football that it's good versus good, right? It's guys where you have to decide who's going to play here because both of them could play at a high level. And all three of them could play at a high level. So it's going to be really interesting to see. And he's done a great job with both kind of the media part of it, but then also the roster building part. Both of those have gone very, very well. And I think that's what we're going to see in spring practice is kind of the culmination of that.
Yeah, the roster in itself, I guess you could say, has competitive balance at the majority of the positions. I would say that the defensive line, in retrospect, is probably a little thin and something that you'll probably see them work with throughout the spring and summer if there is someone available via the portal. Now, the NCAA yesterday, you know, released a statement about multi-year transfers, meaning in the past, you could transfer one time and that was kind of the gimme transfer and you could be immediately eligible as long as academically you were eligible. Now,
you can transfer multiple times as long as you meet the eligibility standards. And that creates a unique dynamic now, because once spring practice is over, you're going to see the portal reopen, and it's going to be a double-edged sword for Indiana. One side will be the fact that they may be able to find a D lineman. The flip side is some of these positions that you have highly contested position battles going on. A young man may find out that he may not meet up to the expectation of being a guy that's going to get on the field and could transfer, which automatically impacts the depth of a team. Thoughts on the multi-year transfer and how that may or may not impact a team like Indiana?
Yeah, I mean, it just widens the pool, right? There is always going to be, the way they've set it up now, there was probably going to be some kind of boon in the transfer portal over the next couple of, when spring practice is over, because that's when the transfer portal window opens, like you were talking about. And so I think that is going to be, it's going to be enhanced now. There's going to be more players to go into the portal because more players have an opportunity to go in the portal without sitting out. And so IU, there are probably some guys that IU is going to lose, guys maybe that they even just got out of the portal, right? But the problem in college football now is that it's so hard to build depth because guys can just go anywhere. And that's not to say that they shouldn't be able to go anywhere. It's just to say that it is hard to keep a guy on the roster that you would love to have as your second or third running back, right? Because he's going to have a chance to start elsewhere probably, if he's a good player. And so now your running back room is a little thinner, right? And that's not an Indiana problem. That is an everyone problem, right? You're seeing a little bit of the best teams in the country are not as good as they were 5 to 10 years ago because they don't have that depth, right? Guys who would be valuable depth pieces for these teams are going to be starters elsewhere. And some of them are going to come be starters in Indiana if you're coming from a Georgia or an Alabama or some of those places, Michigan, Ohio State, that kind of thing. But that is what's going to happen, is you're going to really struggle to build depth. And IU has depth right now, that they will be active in the portal themselves. And so what it is it's a numbers game, right? It's basically, okay, we're losing X. Can we go get Y to replace X and end up about where we were before? And I think Kurt Cignetti and his staff have a pretty good handle on what they need. They seem to have a pretty good feel for roster building. And that's going to be tested at the end of spring practice, as it will be for everyone.
Yes. And, you know, like I said, it's a double edged sword. You know, you worried a little bit about the quarterback position battle. You take a kid like Taven Jackson, who's right in the mix of things. I think in his case, a lot of his some of his negatives that have prevented him from rising to being the quarterback that I think he could be has a lot to do with mentalness, you know, the mental side of the game and things of that nature. So I'm anxious to see how he responds to the coaching change and the new quarterback coach Tino. But if he doesn't make that, you know, win the outright position, or let's say he doesn't, you know, make the depth chart at number two because of Tyler Cherry rises to the top, you could see a potential of a Taven Jackson potentially jumping into the portal and leaving. Now, at this time, quarterbacks in terms of where they may go may be limited. But anyway, I mean, that's the type of thing that's the double-edged sword. But for Indiana, on the flip side, is like you said, depth-wise, they need help at the defensive line. It enables them to find that and any other depth issues that they may or may not have, you know, because the other thing is that they're not going to be able to see is a lot of these kids that are not going to participate in spring due to injury healing. A couple of them, James Madison kids as well, that are not going to be a part of spring. So it also gives them a chance to evaluate, again, position battles where they may need help at in that regard. And that's kind of what spring ball is about. The other thing I want to get your take on as well is the case that the NCAA, again, lost another case, this time that was filed by Tennessee, that ultimately is going to affect the entire landscape of college football that gives these collectives, because collectives can't be a part of the institution. They have to be outside of it, which means the institution doesn't have any control over. You know, they don't have any control over of what they do or how they do it. You know, that's the understanding of the rule. But this case in Tennessee now, it's interesting that gives collectives the ability to talk to kids that are in the portal or potential recruits that are coming to an institution, and ultimately putting packages together that say, hey, if you come to school X, you will make Y, without even any discussionary items with the coach whatsoever in that regard. And the NCAA lost this case in Tennessee because the Tennessee collective, that's what they were doing. And the NCAA was looking and investigating, putting penalties on it. So now, kind of get your feel on that aspect of things now that this collective is ultimately, I would say, overly involved now. But, you know, kind of get your feedback on that, because that, again, too, changes the landscape of things, because, in my opinion, the rich keep getting richer.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that a lot of this is, I mean, the rich are going to keep getting richer. We're going to see in the next couple of days here the breakdown of money for the college football playoff, and most of it's going to go to the SEC and the Big Ten, and they're going to get extra, and it's going to be all this, and it's going to be bad, and it's not a good way for the sport to be going. For the NIL, for NIL collective specifically, I do think that to a certain extent that was already happening, right? As we kind of saw at Tennessee, that's what they were accused of. That was already happening, right? And so now it's just going to be a little bit more out in the open. I do think that is not something that is going to be sustainable. I think that is going to be something where they're going to have to put a rule in place eventually. I don't know what rule is going to be able to stand up in court. And that's kind of the problem here, is the NCAA had all these years to make rules that made more sense for the players and gave them a little bit more autonomy and give a little over the years. And they never gave, they never bent even a little bit. And now they've broken, right? Like the NCAA, the way I put it a couple weeks ago, was the NCAA runs college football and they had never heard of a bend but don't break defense. And so now they've broken, and it's just a question of what comes next, because something is going to come next. The NCAA is, as it stands right now, so toothless as to be almost useless. And that is not sustainable. Something is going to have to come along and govern this. And so I do think that for right now, it is kind of the collectives are going to be a huge part. They were already a huge part of recruiting, but they're going to be an even bigger part of recruiting. And I think that Indiana is going to have to level up its collective. And they've already done that. The Hoosiers for Good has done some very good work with that and making Indiana a player in the NIL game. We've seen that in basketball recruiting. And now I think some of that money is going to football as well, right? There was a story in ESPN just the other day about Indiana hosted a fundraiser that was $100,000 to get in, if I understood the article correctly. And I think they had 34 people there. So you can kind of do the math on that. Now, I think that is going to the athletic department and not the collective, but you can see that there's extra motivation to fund the football team and make sure they have what they need. And Indiana is not a poor athletic department. They have the money to do this. It's just a question of, obviously they're not going to be Ohio State. They're not going to be Alabama or Georgia, but they have the money to be a player in kind of that second or high third tier. And there are good players to be had there. And so it's just a question of how can you get organized on the football side of it fast enough to really be a player.
Yeah, the collectives, especially the collective like at Indiana, that needs time to kind of, you know, ramp up, as opposed to having deep pockets at a school like Ohio State or Tennessee or Alabama. It takes some of these collectives a little while to get themselves in a position where they can offer at least decent, I guess, packages in that regard. Something that's totally new to me. Don't know how I would have handled some of this stuff. And I think ultimately that's what ultimately drove Nick Saban out of the equation. It was the game of college football had changed to the point where he felt he didn't recognize it anymore. And to a certain degree, he's right. But these are all things that we're going to have to keep our eyes on as it pertains to that, because it's such an ever evolving situation that involves the NCAA, the governing body, and, you know, college football as a whole, and how that may shake out. And, you know, you alluded to a little bit about the new payout system and kind of what's coming. I know the Big Ten and the SEC want three teams with automatic bids. I'm not sure the greater good of that is going to work with other conferences and stuff, but
it's so bad. It's so bad. I can't believe they're asking for that. It's completely ridiculous. It's antithetical to the idea of sports. It's so greedy as to be absolutely absurd, and I can't believe they've done that.
Yeah, and I don't know how much longer the NCAA is going to be the quote unquote governing body, but I would say this. College football and college athletics as a whole better watch out what they wish for, because they could create themselves a lot of problems. Because without the NCAA to be the governing body, it's the wild, wild west. And you make the rules up as you go along. And I don't think anybody needs that in that regard.
The Big Ten and the SEC seem to think that they can govern it themselves. And boy, do I not think that that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's
that seems like a really poor idea.
Yeah, that's like saying the commissioners of these conferences and stuff are now going to be the governing bodies of their conference. Well, that's not going to work either.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Saving money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards. We have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
So we will wait and see how that transpires, because it's going to be a busy summer when it comes to some of these things, because a lot of these committees that the NCAA has will meet in the summer in that regard. But we'll happen to see what all goes on with that. We're going to come back with one of the rule changes here in a little bit as it pertains to the quarterback and now having the ability to have the communication from the sidelines. So like the NFL system, and there's a couple other changes that the college football is going to do. Well, we talked a little bit about Coach Cignetti and you know, his popularity right now amongst media personalities throughout college football. I mean, he had a big spread by Pete Thamel and the ESPN did a big write-up on him and such. So again, positive things for Indiana when it comes to that type of stuff. When you give me your thoughts here as we, you know, as we go into spring, what do you think overall is Cignetti looking for in terms of spring practice? I know we're trying to be a little bit of a crystal ball, but what are some things you think he's going to try to impose upon this club? Because this will be the actual first time that they get a chance to hands-on work with their players and ultimately convey what they expect and how they expect it. What is the, some of the things you think that they've got to get accomplished here over the next month and a half?
Yeah, so he talked about he came from James Madison, but James Madison is kind of a very high level program at that level of college football. They are one of the big brands of that level of college football. So he, when he got introduced to Indiana, he actually talked more about his experience at Elon, which is kind of the Indiana of that level of football. If you think of James Madison as Ohio State and you think of Elon as Indiana, he coached at both of them. And he went to Elon. They were 2-9 the year before he got there. And what he said was, basically, he had to go in his first offseason and just tell these guys, you're allowed to win football games. You guys know that, right? Like, it's not like, oh, we have to go out there and lose. That's not any requirement of the rules of this league. And he said, basically, he just had to make them believe. He spent the entire offseason drilling into them. We're a good team. We have good players. Let's go win football games. And I think he's going to do the same thing in Indiana. He already kind of mentioned that there were some guys who it was hard to get them on that track in the offseason, right? Like, that's what he and his staff have been doing for as much as they've been able to have contact with the players, especially the new strength coach that they have, because he's kind of been the guy who's had the most contact, is basically letting these guys know, hey, we're Indiana, but we're allowed to win games, and making sure that they know that. And he said it was a little bit difficult. There were some guys who that was not a message they were used to hearing. I think he said that kind of directly. It was basically like, this is new to them. Right. And so that is what's going to be enhanced in spring practice, is now, okay, put on the pads and basically let me show you how good we can be. And I think that is going to be the main topic, is basically trying to build the confidence these guys. Now, that is a risky game to play. Elon, he won immediately. I believe they went 6-5 his first year. And that was the best record that school had in 10, 15 years. And the difference in Indiana is if you do that and then you don't win, now you set yourself up for a tough road in your second offseason, not only because of the message you were sending in the first offseason, but because you have a lot of guys on this team who are kind of one-year rentals, right? Like, they have 1 year of eligibility left. And I think that is something that's really been interesting to me, is that he has built this team to win right now. This is not, oh, we're building in year one and then year two and three is going to be successful. Like, he brought a lot of guys in from the transfer portal who are one-year guys. They were stars at James Madison or Troy or Coastal Carolina or wherever, what have you, in the Sun Belt, Curtis Rourke at the end of the MAC, right? Mm-hmm. He brought these guys in for 1 year to be really, really good and then ride off into the sunset. And so if you don't have success in this first year, you just have a full reset next offseason. So it creates a lot of pressure in year one. And that's where Cignetti's confidence is obviously not just a media creation. He's not playing for the cameras. He genuinely believes this team can win. He believes he's built a roster that can do so. Now you got to go do it, right? Go 6-6 and get to a bowl game. Go 7-5. Go 8-4 and really do something here. And if he does that, then you go in next offseason and say, I'm the guy who fixed Indiana. Come play for me. We're going to go actually win a Big Ten title now. That's not going to happen. I do not think that Indiana is going to win a Big Ten title in the first 5 years of the Kurt Cignetti era. But I do think that if you go to a bowl game in year one after IU won a total of 9 games the previous 3 years, that gives you something to go sell on the recruiting trail next year. And that's really, really important for Indiana.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. And, you know, I think he strikes me as a man, like you said, is not just talking to hear himself talk either. I think he is totally convinced or convicted by his passion for what he believes in and how he believes he can win and win now, irregardless of what maybe the past has said about Indiana football. He has that conviction, and that's half the battle. I mean, that is half the battle is that mindset. And you know, Indiana losing, I think, what, six games by, I can't remember how, a score or less, or 6 points or less. I can't, you know, whatever, where they won five games of, you know, 1 point or more at James Madison. It's all in the, you know, it's a totally different mindset in that regard. Quarterback position, because that's what everybody wants to know about. What is the quarterback? Who the quarterback's going to be? There's no question that that room has talent in it, and it is going to be an interesting battle to see develop throughout the spring. And highly doubtful that they're going to name an outward starter heading into the summer months, but I may be totally wrong on that. But you got Curtis Rourke, the transfer from Ohio U, MAC Player of the Year a couple years ago. Of course, Taven Jackson's a returning. Brock Lowry, a kid that we know very little about out of the state of Texas. You know, he has a strong arm. Now, he hasn't had much opportunity to display some of that. I think he may have played in one game when they got down so bad or got, you know, hurt with it, injuries and stuff. But here's the young man that's looking for an opportunity, so he's not going to get one. And then, of course, Tyler Cherry, the freshman that's coming in, that came in at mid-year. Those are the four guys that are going to be battling for this position to be the starting guy. And I don't believe, at least I don't think Cignetti is going to be the type of guy that's going to play two at that position. I think he wants one guy driving the bus and moving forward. How do you see that position playing out? I know that everybody assumes that Rourke is the heir apparent because of him being brought in. Like you said, he's a one-year type of rental. But how do you see that position really playing out here in the spring and through this, you know, I guess through the summer in that regard?
Yeah. I think you're right about Cignetti not naming a starter. I think that that will be something that goes into fall. I do think that will eventually be Curtis Rourke. He is the veteran. He's a guy who's produced and is a guy that some people have pretty high on draft boards next year. Now the question with him is, he spent a lot of last season kind of in and out of the lineup with injuries. And so the question is, and that's why you said he was MAC Player of the Year 2 years ago. That's why he did not repeat last year, in large part is because he was hurt for a significant chunk of the season. And so he's supposed to be healthy. I think the question now is, can he go out there and put it on the field and be healthy and stay healthy, right? And if he does, he's probably almost certainly going to be the starter, and then he will go out and play well and be an NFL draft pick, early round draft pick, which would be huge for Indiana to have an early round NFL draft pick at quarterback, which has not happened, at least as long as I've been following the team. It's been a very, very long time for that. And so obviously that is kind of the plan. I do think you're right. We talked about it earlier. There's a chance that Taven Jackson transfers, because I do think I believe Taven Jackson is a very good football player. Mm-hmm. I think he is a good quarterback. And if Curtis Rourke gets hurt, I think Taven Jackson would do just fine, and they would be able to win games with him under center. We saw it last year. They probably should have won that game against Louisville with Taven Jackson under center. And Louisville was a darn good team last year. And so, yeah, absolutely. And so you can win games with Taven Jackson. So they would love to have him as, okay, if Curtis Rourke does get hurt again, we have a guy who we trust. But that is the problem with the transfer point. It's not a problem for the players. It's good for the players, because Taven Jackson could be a starter at a lot of places. But for the teams, it is an issue, because you take a guy who you would love to have as a depth piece, and you give him opportunities elsewhere, and he's going to take the opportunity to start, as I think almost all of us would.
All right.
So maybe Taven Jackson has some connection to Indiana because he's an Indiana guy, because his brother went there and was so successful. I don't know what was in his mind. Quite frankly, I thought that when they brought Curtis Rourke in, he would hit the portal pretty early. I'm surprised that he didn't. And that kind of tells me something, that he believes he has a chance to go win this job, or he has been told he has a chance to go win this job.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so they're not going to anoint Curtis Rourke here. They're going to give these guys some reps. And I do think even to your point about Brock Lowry finds himself third or fourth on the depth chart right now. He hasn't left either, which tells me, first of all, he didn't run him off, because there are some guys where every time a new coaching staff comes in, they tell a certain amount of players, hey,
yeah,
you are not the type of player we want in this program just because of a fit, or just you have a lot of guys in front of you, it'd probably be better to go in the transfer portal, that kind of thing. Brock Lowry didn't do that either. And so I think they probably told him, we see something in you that we like. Stick it out for spring practice. Show us what you got, and we'll go from there. And so I think that's why spring practice is going to be really, really interesting, because there were a lot of guys for Indiana that I thought were going to enter the portal and didn't. And they believe they have a chance to prove something in spring practice. And it is going to be a really, really interesting competition in a lot of these positions, not just quarterback.
Correct. And of course, then the Tyler Cherry, in terms of what he may show them, I mean, he'd have to be, in my opinion, you know, a no doubter, you know, in that regard, that his performance in the spring was just, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else. And, you know, in that regard, but Taven, I think, has the ability to be a really good quarterback. It's mental. I think I'm anxious to see how Tino and all that, you know, that group kind of responds under a new direction, new coaching staff in terms of utilization and such. But we're going to see how that plays out throughout the spring. And I think come April 18th, you'll get a little bit of an idea just based upon, you know, how each one may, or, you know, play during that scrimmage and such. But it'll be an interesting dynamic now with that competition and how that all plays out. But I agree with you. I think Curtis Rourke is the quote unquote heir apparent. That's what they want it to be. They just want him to confirm it. They want him to earn it through, you know, the normal process of, you know, the kids, you know, the players actually in that huddle trusting that guy, and, you know, all the things that go into being the starting quarterback. You know, last thing here, wanted to get your feeling on, you know, last year we had the big scandal with Michigan and sign stealing and, you know, Jim Harbaugh and all the things that may have went on, you know, I didn't know went on, so forth and so on. So, finally, after years of not wanting to do it, which I think mostly was because of cost, I think that was the biggest thing why the NCAA didn't clear this. And you're now going to have the communication in the helmet for the quarterback, where there'll probably not be much signed, you know, whatever going on. Kind of your thoughts that we've now achieved something that they probably should have achieved about 5 years ago.
Yeah. I liken it to the shot clock in high school basketball in Indiana. Is it should happen. No, everyone's dragging their feet on making it happen because of the cost. And what it's going to take is some pretty significant embarrassment for it to change, right? Like Michigan, they allegedly stole some signs. And so this is like, all right, well, we have to do this now. Indiana, they're going to do this. Eventually there is going to be a semi-state or a state championship game where someone holds the ball the entire game. And the final score is going to be 8-7. And it's going to be so embarrassing for the IHSAA that they're going to mandate it the next year. And that's what we have here, essentially, is mm-hmm. that the NCAA got so embarrassed about Michigan that they said, all right, let's do it. And so now I think it's better for the game. I think that it's going to make games faster paced, because you can some of these teams that like to play fast, they're limited by how fast the quarterback can get the next play. And now that limitation is going to be significantly reduced, right? Now, officials do limit how fast these teams can go a little bit. That's kind of their mandate, is to make sure that it's not going so fast it's dangerous. Right. But I do think that it's going to the teams that like to play as fast as possible are going to play even faster, because they're going to be able to get the calls in even sooner. You're not going to have the quarterback need to go to the sideline after the previous play and get a complicated series of instructions, you're just going to be able to go right up to the line and do it that way. And I think that that's going to be really interesting to see how that changes things. But yeah, this is probably something that should have happened a long time ago, and it took a little bit of embarrassment for us to get there, but we got there. So we're there now.
Yeah, like I said, I believe it was all a monetary issue, because you got to look at it from Division One or all sports. Not everybody, especially even through the MAC, may not have the funds necessary to do that type of communication, because I think to put that in the helmet's like a 30 grand proposition in that regard. So now you times that by how many of the quarterbacks you have, right? And yeah, now you can see where the cost can get a little out of control when it comes to that aspect of things. But you're correct. They probably got a little egg on their face, and this was a way to put an end to that component with this device going in there in the helmets and stuff. Now, this will be something that they'll have to work on during spring practice. This won't be something that they'll just take out of the box and, you know, 2 days before the game, see what happens. They'll be working with this the entire spring to get the kinks out, because it's a totally different way of approaching how you call plays and substitutions and things of that nature that they'll have to get used to, and they'll be doing it this spring. So it'll be interesting to see that aspect of it. The other thing in rule changes that are coming up is now the implementation of a 2-minute warning in the game of college football. This is an interesting one from the standpoint, now you could subtly say that each team picks up a timeout in the second half. It'll be an interesting dynamic from time management standpoint. Kind of what's your thoughts as well on that 2-minute warning idea?
Yeah, I do think it's funny, because they spent last offseason saying the games were too long and they need to shorten the games. So we got they changed the rule where the clock doesn't stop on first downs in the last 2 minutes anymore, kind of like the NFL. And so now they've done this where it's like, well, we shortened the games, now let's make the games longer again. And basically what we've done is we've taken away football and we've added commercials. Yeah. So that's what we've done.
That's a good way to look at it.
it does. It's great. That's the way the sport is going right now. But it does add another element of time management for these coaches, right? And we've seen some coaches in college, and in the NFL too, but in college, that, boy, howdy, do they struggle with time management. Mm-hmm. I am fascinated to see it. The example that pops to mind immediately is Mario Cristobal at Miami, who is a great coach, mm-hmm. great coach, absolutely can build a program, but is just terrible at clock management, just straight up bad. And he cost Miami a game last year because he ran the ball instead of kneeling it out. And I am just waiting for the first time that something happens where they need to figure out how to most effectively and efficiently utilize the clock around the 2-minute warning. It just seems like he's standing on the moon. You know?
Yeah.
It might be him, it might be someone else, but there's going to be at least a couple of times in college football this year where a team absolutely bungles how to use the clock around this. That's going to be kind of fun to watch.
Well, and just like I said with the communication devices in the helmet, this will be, again, something that will be practiced this spring as much as humanly possible to get some dry runs at it, so to speak, and how it may or may not change what a team does or doesn't do as it pertains to timeouts and how they manage the game. So that'll be an interesting dynamic. And hey, look, we talked about Coach Cignetti and his outward confidence. He's got 8 home games next year. And if there's ever a year to capture lightning in a bottle, this is going to be the year, because I've never, ever seen anyone with 8 home games in college football. Ever.
No.
And so,
and on top of that, the schedule is like, the Big Ten is very hard going forward. We know this, everyone's aware of this, but the schedule this year is as easy as it's ever going to be in the Big Ten going forward. They caught a break from the Big Ten schedulers. This is the year to go 8-4. Go, yeah, do it.
Right.
That's the message this offseason.
Yeah, they're definitely right. There's a possibility of them having the best year that they've had in forever. They do have a stretch there at the end of the season where they go Michigan, Ohio State, and Purdue. So there's a 3-week period there where they go Michigan and Ohio State back to back before they enter the bucket game. But we can talk about that down the road and some of the other things that I'm sure that you'll have a lot of coverage for spring football this year, I'm assuming.
Of course. I will be there as often as they let me.
So you can catch all that information from Dylan on the Journal Gazette. You can get the paper itself or subscribe and get the online version like I do. Dylan, thanks for joining me here today on the Hoosier Football Tailgate. Always appreciate your insights.
Absolutely, Shannon. Thanks for having me on. This was fun.
All right, buddy. We'll see you. And again, I want to thank Dylan Sin for joining us here tonight on the Hoosier Football Tailgate as we had a pretty robust discussion and getting his insights on some things that have occurred over the last few weeks in the game of college football. We're going to stay abreast of all of that as we continue to build up to the start of spring practice here on the Hoosier Football Tailgate. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for the Believe Network, as well as Bet Online for their sponsorship of the Hoosier Football Tailgate. For now, I'm the coach, Shannon Griffith. This has been the Hoosier Football Tailgate right here on Believe.
Thanks for listening to the Hoosier Football Tailgate with the coach, Shannon Griffith, here on the Believe Network.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Te presentamos a Alex. Ella acaba de descubrir el centro de visión de Walmart.
Ahora hago mis diligencias en un solo lugar.
¿Compras? ¿Lentes?
Walmart.
¿Decoraciones?
Walmart. Y lo mejor es que aceptan la mayoría de seguros, así que ahorro tiempo y dinero.
Bienvenido a un cuidado de visión más fácil. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Se aplican restricciones. Visita walmart.com para más detalles.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.